big warms to Dan Vail.
Thank you very much, and thanks to Tom and Linda for opening your home. Let's go to Genesis 31. The title of the teaching is "It Changed, and That's Not Fair." I've been dealing with some situations like that with my job, and I think everybody has situations that cause you to sit back and go, "Well, geez, that's not right." Well, let's look at some of the records in God's Word where many men had to deal with situations that change that just don't seem fair. So, with Laban and Jacob, there's a great record here. But before we get into the record, I just wanted to cover the history here a little bit. Abraham and Sarah, they had Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah had Esau and Jacob. And Jacob had Joseph. Now, there was a lot more lineage. That's really summarizing it down to, but, you know, the lineage was quite long. I'm just pointing out a few key people I'm going to talk about. So, start in verse 31. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Chapter 31, verse 1. And he, Jacob, heard the words of Laban's son, saying, "Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all the glory." Now, early on when you read about this, it said that Laban didn't have that much when it came to his herds and his flocks and so forth. But once Jacob got there, they started to multiply. But what happens? When you start to succeed, people get jealous. You ever seen that? Well, Laban's son, they got jealous. And they told his father, "This is not right." And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Oh, by the way, Laban was his mother's brother. Yep. Laban was his mother's brother. And Jacob was sent there so he wouldn't have to marry someone outside of what his parents called the Canaanites and so forth. Go marry someone that's closer to our bloodline. So this is where he was sent after a falling out with Esau. There's a lot of history going on here to get us to this point. So, and Jacob beheld his countenance, so the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as it was before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of thy fathers, and unto thy kindred, and I will bring, and I will be with thee." Yeah. This is the key. God promised that he'd be with him. So, even though he left, not on such great circumstances with Esau. In fact, Esau said, "I'll kill him." The story is that when Esau was down and out, Jacob bought his birthright. And then his mother and he went and got Esau's blessing from Abraham. So, it was not that good of a situation with Esau. Isaac. Yeah. So, here we are. Verse 3. Nope, we read that one. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto the flocks. And he said unto them, "I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as it toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me." Here again, with me. He's with him. "And ye know that with all my power I served your father, and your father hath deceived me." This was quite a deceit. The first time he was deceived was, he said, "I'll work 7 years for Rachel. And at the end of the 7 years, he says, I'm ready for Rachel. No problem. Laban has a feast. And that night, guess who he sends unto him?
Leah.
Well, that's very deceitful. Because he loved Rachel. And I don't know what it means. She was easy-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful. That's what the scripture says. So, now Laban makes this excuse. Well, it's not right that you should have the younger child, the younger sister, when the older should be first married. So, Jacob takes Leah and works another 7 years for Rachel. So, he could have just said, we're going to war right now, and this is the end of it. I've had it with you. You lied to me. You changed your mind, and I've had it. And let's go to war. Well, that's what I've done before. So it doesn't work that well. Life changes, and it's just not fair. But it's, he knew that God was going to be with him. Was that a promise? So he had a choice. So he worked another 7 years. So your father changed ways. All right, verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. So not only did he deceive him with Leah in place of Rachel, but then he went about to change his wages 10 times.
Probably not up.
No, that's good. No minimum wage. No, it was not a wage increase. Yeah. It's like, how can I take more out of your pocket and make you work harder? And, you know, that's what I was talking to Jim about. You know, the corporate world, that's just kind of the way it works. You know, they put the carrot out there. Yeah. You call us. Oh, well, we're going to do this now. And you have a choice. You can fight it and really go after it and bloody yourself really good, or you can go, you know what? God says I'm going to live abundantly. Either he's going to provide something different, or I'm going to make the best of this situation. That's your only two choices, basically. If you want to get bloodied with it, knock yourself out. I did. Didn't work so well. So, with all of this, he keeps going to God, and God keeps delivering. So, let's see how God did it. God suffered him not to hurt me. And I see a latter part of verse 7 and verse 8. If he said, thus the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. So, Laban would say, I don't see many speckled. Now, you get the speckled cattle. Well, guess what would happen? All of them be speckled. If Laban said thus, the ring stake should be your hire. Then bear all the cattle ring stake. So, he could have fought this, or he could have believed God. What's the better result here? Believing God. Absolutely. Thus, God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So, that's what Jacob got, was more wealth, and Laban's deceit and dishonesty finally started just making his herd smaller and smaller. Let's go to all the way down to Genesis 17.
Chapter 17?
No, 31:17. It's verse 17. So, then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon the camels, and he carried away all of his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten, and Panorama. Padanaram. It's real easy. Padanaram. For to go to Isaac, his father. So he's going back to Isaac. Back to Isaac. Who had Esau and who had Jacob. And Jacob had stolen Esau's blessing. I don't know if that's exactly the right word for it, but that's pretty much what had happened.
But God wanted him to have it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so
that was the bottom line. Rebecca listened to God.
Rebecca listened to God so that Jacob got that blessing. But Esau was not happy about that. So he goes back into the land of his father. And Laban went to share his sheep. Shear. Shear. Cutting the fur off. How's that? Shear. And Rachel had stolen the image that was her father's. And Jacob stole away underwears to Laban the Syrian, and that he told him not that he fled. So he didn't let Laban know he was going to go. He just took off. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days. So I was kind of doing the math. Yep, he's 3 days, and he keeps traveling 3 more days, and Laban's going after him. On the seventh day, he's right there with him. So let's see what Laban says. Verse 24. And it came to, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So there was a dream. Laban has it. So then on verse 25, then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched the tent in the mountain, and Laban was with Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Jacob, what hast thou done? Thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with a sword. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bring the heart.
Yeah, just bring it. Yeah, I would have done so much for you. Yeah. Look at my word, how good. Uh-huh. I'm such an honorable guy. I would have just made a huge feast for you.
Yeah.
And we'd have had harps and tables, and we would have just had a great time. And hast not suffered, verse 28, hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly so and so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you what?
Hurt.
But, you know, you are family. And God did come to me and talk to me.
Yeah.
God, your father, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So Laban was wise enough to listen to God. Now, let's go to verse 30 here, 31, Genesis 32. Let's start to pick it up here. And Jacob went his way. So, no, wait a second. Let's read on down. Well, I'll just summarize it here a little bit. So, Jacob and Laban finally come to an agreement that, hey, let's build, God says, let's put some rocks here, let's build a pillar, and we're going to say, this day forward, I will not pass over this way to do you harm, and this day forward, you won't pass over this way to do me harm. And all is good with Laban and Jacob, and that's a really good thing, that they've come to a final agreement. This is what we're going to do from this day forward. Let's look at it here. I do want to read a little more here. Verse 36. Let's just talk about the... Yeah, let's go there. And Jacob was wroth. See, now let's just keep reading verse 30. And now, though, it's just too much to summarize here. And verse 30. And now, though, thou wouldest needs gone because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? So he was accusing, you left without telling me, and you've stolen my gods. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me, with whomsoever thy findest thy gods, let him not live before our brethren. Discern thou what is thine, and with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tent, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. And now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said unto her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found the images not. So she's sitting on this piece of furniture that has the idols in them, and she says, I can't get up to greet you. And he finds them not. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. See, you've deceived me, you've changed my wages, you've lied to me, now you've accused me of taking your gods, and I didn't. And he had no idea that Rachel had taken them. And he had already said, if you find whoever did it, kill him. So it's a good thing. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all of thy household stuff? Set it before my brethren and thy brethren, and they may judge betwixt us both. Hey, it's all out here. You know, everything I have, you've already gone through it. Your idols aren't here. Let's judge. This 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of the beast I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it. He didn't charge it against Laban's account, he charged it against his own account. Of my hands didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and in the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. So this guy worked his tail off, is what he's saying, right? And yet you're accusing me and changed my wages. So Jacob's had enough of it. Thus I've been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for the two daughters. The first one was a total lie. The second was, you finally get her. And then you change my wages 10 times. Except the, verse 42, except the God of your of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with thee, surely thou hast sent me away empty. You would have done it. You would have just sent me away empty. Had I come to you, you would have sent me away just like that. But that's why Jacob had to go secretly. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Mm-hmm. And that's when God came to Laban and said, don't go good. Don't speak evil against him. And you don't even have to speak good for him. Just leave him alone. So, and that's where they came to a truce and peace was made. So now he has to go face his brother, Esau. And to summarize that, he listens to God. God's going to be with him. God told him to go, right? And told him to leave Laban and go back to your homeland. So as he gets closer, he sends out his servants, and guess who they see? With 400 men. Esau. Now, what do you think when you see someone who's said they're going to kill you and they have 400 men? This is, oh God. Oh God, you promised me. And he went through the whole prayer of what you said. My seed shall be like the sand of the sea, and I'll have inheritance. But I see 400 men, and I see Esau, who said he was going to kill me. That had to be in his heart. But he prayed and listened to God. And so he started dividing 200 of this and a couple hundred of that. And he sent them in droves. And I thought about this. So here comes this drove of all these asses. And then here comes a grove of cattle. And here comes another grove. And guess what? Each grove, and when I say grove, there was distance between them, which each person was told to tell Esau, this is a gift from Jacob to you. After about the third or fourth gift, what do you think? Could have changed his heart? Mm-hmm. Don't know. We don't know what exactly was in his heart. We just know what he'd said. But we do know God promised to deliver it. But at the very last, he sends Leah and her children, and him and Rachel were the very last. And they bow down before him 7 times and say, here we are. And guess what Esau did? He ran and kissed him and cried. So, what seemed to be a terrible situation and a no-win situation turned out to be total forgiveness, total love, and Jacob did talk him into keeping those herds. He said, oh, no, I won't. But I think that was a good thing, because now he could, I think that just cleaned the slate. You know, I'm willing to give because God's given me plenty. And Esau said, well, I've got plenty. But Jacob insisted, you keep these flocks. And he did. And there was peace. I thought about when things change, you can either decide to fight it or believe God for the best. And something came to mind about Daniel. Here he was, one of the great advisors to the king, right? Very wise men. Very, very wise men. So the other wise men and advisors got very jealous, didn't they? Let's go to the king and make a creed and a declaration and him sign it that no prayer can be done except unto you, king. Sounds great, doesn't it? Very sincere. And the king signs it. And the king even loved Daniel, but he wasn't going to go back on his declaration. So Daniel had a choice. Let me get all of my people together and let's undo the declaration of the king. How do you think that would have worked? No, you don't undo the declaration of the king. It's like me going to the vice president and telling him, you've cheated me. It doesn't work well. It really doesn't. So you can make a decision that, wait a minute, God has promised me the abundant life. God has made promises of health to me. I can take this situation and say, oh, geez, they stole from me, and now I have bad health. Or I can say, God, you will deliver me, and God, your promises are greater than any declaration or any changes of wages. And sure enough, was Daniel delivered? Mm-hmm. And was the king happy? Yeah. Yes. Was it better than it was before? Mm-hmm. Yes. And then we have Joseph. Jeez. Joseph, well, Jacob's son. One of Jacob's many sons. And I shared this at the men's advance, and I just wanted to just touch base on it. He had a dream, and God gave him revelation, and his father had given him a coat of many colors, and his brother hated him, and they hated him even more about how he dreamed a dream and said he would be a ruler. That's the way they interpret it. They sold him into slavery, but they first conspired to kill him. So Reuben said, hey, better not kill him. He's our own family and blood. But they sold him, sold him into slavery. And in slavery, in Potiphar's home, he could have been, I hate this job. I hate you, and I shouldn't be here. And I'm just going to make, my life is miserable, and I'm going to make your life miserable. How do you think that would have worked? But that wasn't, he didn't. He did it with the best of his ability as a slave. And Potiphar said, oh, it's all yours, man. You just take care of it. You do it so much better than I do. And I just love you for it. You sign my name anywhere you want to because you make good decisions. Yeah. Then his wife says, oh, I like that guy, Joseph. And tries to entice him, and he's falsely accused of trying to take advantage of her, and he's thrown in prison. So therefore, Joseph should just be the most miserable, hatred person in prison, and blame God, blame everybody, and just live like, you know, God, you forsook me. He could have, but he didn't. He just kept saying, God will deliver me, and God has called me. And guess what? The keeper of the prison says, Joseph, you're such an example inmate. You're such a you keep the keys. You're the keeper of the prison. And he went about to make sure everyone was okay. When the butler and the baker had a problem, what's your problem? I mean, he was always looking after people. And in the end, he was delivered and recognized by Pharaoh as none is second except. Only the one second to me is Joseph. You ride the chariot, you get the ring, you get the wife, you get the necklace. And Joseph was delivered, and he forgave his brothers, and you know the rest of the story. But see, he could have fought this, but he didn't. He believed God. So when things change, we have a choice. Believe God's promises or look at the change, which is reality, the black and white in front of you, and say, I'm going to focus on how bad this is, or I'm going to choose to focus on the greatness of God. So let's close in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I thought this would be an appropriate verse to close with. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things... I'm sorry, I'll wait for you to get there. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So that's our focus. And we can see something in black and white that maybe this is not right. And yes, you're being shortchanged. But the bigger promise is God says, I'll take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thanks, man.